This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to say that if you were with us last hour, that lady who called whose husband had taken his life, I feel bad about it. I feel bad about having that ridiculous guest on in the middle of that lady's story about Hurricane Camille. And if you're still listening, hon, I all the best to you and God bless you and sorry for your loss. I just feel bad, that's all. And it's not the purpose of this radio show to mock anybody other than people that deserve to be mocked. And certainly no one victimized by anything so terrible as that. So I just want to say I'm sorry. And what is that smell, bud?
What?
What am I smelling on the microphone?
I don't know.
Did you have your hands in the mic?
Yeah.
What are you eating?
Roquefort.
Roquefort cheese, and it's all over my mic? It smells like freaking dung.
Right.
Go wash your hands.
I was getting emotional about what you're saying.
Well, what's that got to do with you handling my mic with Roquefort cheese? Who eats Roquefort cheese, man?
Oh, you never heard of it, huh?
Yeah, on a freaking salad dressing. Oh, man. Get the Lysol, will you? Cheese bits all over the... Okay, let's go to Jeff Dowder, and Jeff is with us to talk a little bit about the rebuilding efforts that could be happening as we visualize what may be the best things for New Orleans. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing very good, Phil, and I understand it's a very emotional time, so I'm going to try and get right to what I have to say.
Where are you, man? It sounds like you're camping.
Yeah, right now we're up at El Capitan, which is, at this time of year, come up here and see what we can do. I'll bring my shortboard up here and just do a little wave riding, you know, and camp out. Toby Bowe and I usually come out here, but right now Toby's down at the Treehouse Seminar in La Vista, California. Every year, Phil, some 200 people go to the Treehouse Symposium, and it's a fascinating experience for a lot of people.
And what do you mean the Treehouse Symposium? What is that, man?
It is a group of people who are dedicated to utilizing tree houses as a way of the new way to live. I mean, and that's what I'm on your show tonight to talk about, because if ever there was a city that needed tree houses, I think you'd agree it's you know, New Orleans.
And what trees are they going to live in? What, are they going to build trees? I don't understand.
Well, the way it works is this. If you're living up in a tree, okay, and the flood comes, I guess it's not going to get you wet. And another thing...
Okay, so we're talking about multifamily, not a multifamily, multi-room home for a family in a tree.
Yes, and the Treehouse Symposium in La Vista, which generally is chaired by Dr. Hautzer from the University of Bradley, really some interesting concepts. If you live up in the tree... And another thing that I want to mention, this has got nothing to do with African-Americans being from Africa or being chimpanzee-like. Most of the people...
What do you mean chimpanzee, man? Are you on that same thing that...
That's the correct... Yeah, that is the proper way. Yeah.
What is? Chimpanzee?
Yeah.
As opposed to chimpanzee?
That's correct, yeah. But I'm not saying that, because there's a lot of people, every time you say treehouse, you go, oh, yeah, great. You mean live just like the chimpanzee, you know. In fact, you see, one of the reasons the chimpanzee, you remember the Today Show when he had that chimpanzee?
Would you stop with a chimpanzee, man? Just say chimp or ape.
All right, chimp. That's got nothing to do with it. But, yeah, okay, if they're more comfortable that way. See, all I'm trying to say...
All you're doing, man, is making a big freaking race joke out of this. Okay?
Look, if you live in a treehouse, tell me you don't have a good view. And tell me if you live in a treehouse, you can't see the levee breaking. Tell me this. Okay? If you're living up in a treehouse and you happen to want to live like a chimpanzee...
If I hear that word chimpanzee one more time, I'm going to go ballistic. I don't want to hear chimpanzee.
Even though it's the correct pronunciation?
Yes. And I don't think it is. You listen to that Margaret Gray so much, she's so full of it, man, she doesn't know which end is up on her.
Well, man, you are, boy, you're just completely, you know, stressed. I mean, you know, you're scaring me, man.
All right, just go ahead. I don't want to hear chimpanzee.
Well, the other thing is, if you're living in a treehouse, you're always less stressed out. I would recommend it for you, Mr. Henry. You live up there with the squirrels. You live up there with the birds. You live up there.
What's a bird?
Bird. B-I-R-D. Bird.
Well, then why don't you call it a bird?
Because it's the correct pronunciation.
I don't want to hear chimpanzee, and I don't want to hear bard.
Okay. Anyway, like I said, you can live up in the trees with the squirrels. You can live with it.
And not squirrel either. Chimpanzee, bard, and squirrel. It's a squirrel, not a squirrel. Look at, man, in case you haven't noticed, I'm just about ready to bust here. Okay?
All right. Well, I'm just trying to say, if you live in a treehouse, you could have a real-life love nest, and you'd be living there with your wife and all your children, and you'll never have to worry about anything. If there's a flood, you'll still be there. And right now at the treehouse symposium and associated treehouse, the treehouse possibilities seminar and the exhibition, I'll be running this through this August in Las Vegas. I'm Jeff Dowder. And we'll see you next week on Treehouse Living. It's the way to go. Where'd you get this bud, man?
Yeah, okay, you know, ever since she came on the show last week with that whole chimpanzee act, now it's squirrel. All of a sudden, we can't just say chimpanzee. And I don't want to hear any more of this. None of this stuff. You guys start coming up with some real ideas instead of this cockamamie baloney about freaking tree houses and going down there with spatulas. By the way, as I said last week, and I'd like to reiterate, if you want to donate to a worthwhile charity, donate to the Salvation Army. The Red Cross, I got emailed something this weekend from a friend of mine who said, look, here you go. This is these guys, you know, they're floating their balloon, man. They're blowing their own horn. Those guys... With all the bread those cats have got, we don't need money, man. We need somebody to be able to coordinate things, you know? If I'm Red Cross, I'd have like a fleet of choppers. I'd have a huge cruise ship that I would just pull up and just get everybody on it and get them out of there. Treehouse. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
One thing that will happen, and because it happened after 9/11, is, you know, everything is politicized. Everything is made political. Everybody tries to make political hay out of everything that happens in this country now. I mean, everyone's trying to score some points. After 9/11, I got to score some points. After this one, I got to score some points. It can't be just, let's go down and help some folks. It's about... who caused it, and how can we string somebody up on this thing, right? And if you don't think that in a few months' time, in like a year's time, people will be speaking about New Orleans as if they don't care. I mean, you hear people talking about 9/11 now like they don't care. Who cares about that? Who cares about that? Why are you always talking about that? Who cares about the 3,000 people dead, right? Not just dead from a flood. And I'm saying that a flood is insignificant, but this is cold-blooded murder. Murder. And they're like, who cares? Why don't you get over it? Do you know that more people die on our highways than got killed in the... Honest to God, man, that's what I hear. More people die on our highways than got killed at 9/11. Now try whipping that one out now about New Orleans. Go ahead. Go ahead. Try laying that one on me. More people die on our highways than get killed in New Orleans, so what is everybody getting all worked up about, man? See, that's, you know, that's the thinking. That's the way people are. Why? Because for a lot of people, 9/11 is just something they can dismiss, and it, almost as if those people deserve to die. Whereas with New Orleans, it's an opportunity to, you know, now they can wrap their arms around this one and say, this is my disaster. This is cool. And don't you dare, you know, minimize it or anything. I don't minimize either thing. New Orleans, 9/11, anytime Americans need some help. This radio show's donated $1 million to kids that live on the streets out here in Hollywood that nobody's helping. But it's funny to me that in about a year to 2 years, I'll give it a year. You'll hear people say, yeah, yeah, enough about New Orleans already. You will. And they'll talk about it in the most insensitive terms. And, you know, this radio show, more than any other radio show in the history of man on this planet, endeavors to point that out.
Hello, this is Father James McCorder saying, please give generously to me.
Paid for by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Paid for by the Ad Council.
Excuse me, paid for by the Ad Council.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, so we can get into something a little bit more sane here. I want to talk to Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, and Doug is preparing a piece that he has said is going to be ripping the lid off of a major, major news story. And, Doug, thanks for joining our show.
Yeah, Phil, wait a minute. This is still Jeff Dowder. Hold on for a minute.
Get out of here with your freaking campfire, man, will you? Doug, are you there?
I'm right here, Phil. Funny how I sound just like Jeff Dowder when we're so close together, but this is Doug Danger, and I wanted to mention to you that tomorrow morning, the Orange County Courier, we are going to rip the lid off of something that I think needs to have the lid ripped off of it, and that is the fact that through this disaster in New Orleans, Disneyland has kept New Orleans Square open, and they've kept it open not only at Disneyland but at Disney World. Why? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I can tell you, using the perception that I have as a gay man and a gay journalist, I think it's because it's blatant insensitivity on the part of Disneyland. I think that if they are going to be that insensitive, I think perhaps they ought to get out of the family entertainment business.
Now, people need entertainment. And so to get their minds off of the tragedy in New Orleans, the park offers some respite from that.
Well, look at Phil. The insensitivity to people that have loved Disneyland and Disney World for so many years is record-breaking. We want to go to a park where everything is a replica of the way that it is, only you're not going to get hurt by it. I mean, that's what it's all about. So why, when I go to Disneyland, do I see New Orleans Square open? Why isn't it closed, just like the real city? The insensitivity to me, not only as a gay man and a gay person...
Are you talking about insensitivity to people who go to Disneyland?
Yeah. Who do you think I was talking
about? I thought you were talking about insensitivity to the people in New Orleans.
The people in New Orleans are going to be taken care of. I love Disneyland. Now, when I go there and I see that New Orleans Square is open, now I'm going, well, this blows. It ain't open. In real life, it's closed.
Hey, man, I got a little news flash for you. You ever been to Disney World?
Yeah.
Okay, you go down to that MGM Studios thing?
Yeah.
Okay, walk down to that Hollywood thing they got. There's a thing called Crossroads of the World. And
oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, right. Well, guess what? At the Disneyland Crossroads of the World, it's nice and clean, and you can stand there and have an ice cream cone. The one in Hollywood, there's hookers hanging around it. Now, should I not go there because they don't have hookers?
I would speak to somebody about it.
Are you telling me they ought to have hookers at the Crossroads of the World at the MGM Studios at Disney World?
If you want the authentic experience, no, not a real hooker, but some kind of a slut.
Some kind of a Disney slut, huh?
Oh, here we go. You going to laugh about it? Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. If you start laying some of that homophobia...
It's not homophobia, man. Are you trying to tell me that Disney World is supposed to have some Disney slut walking back and forth? Well, what does she look like, man? Is she wearing, like, a nude bodysuit? Is she...
She's a Disney employee that looks like a slut, but she's not going to put out. In other words, you can have your picture taken with her.
All right, so I go down to Disneyland, and I get my picture taken with, like, what are those squirrels?
Chip and Dale. Jesus, are you out of it?
Yeah, man, I'm not clued in. Chip and Dale.
Well, everybody knows who they are.
Well, I don't, obviously, do I?
Well?
But then I'm not a gay man and a gay journalist.
You homophobe.
I'm not bringing it up for anything other than to say this. I'm not as clued in. All right, so you got Snow White and a long time... with all of that, I'm going to go down there and there's a slut that I can have my picture taken with.
Yeah.
This is some Disney slut. What cartoon's she from?
Wait a minute, that's Dirty Pool. You're trying to...
Yeah, see, every one of those characters come from a movie or a cartoon. What movie or cartoon does the slut come from?
How about Pulp Fiction?
Disney didn't make Pulp Fiction.
Miramax didn't. Guess who owned them? Gotcha.
Nah, no, man, that don't count.
Hey, the hell it doesn't count. Disney had a lot of money in the Miramax movies. Look, the point I'm trying to make, Phil, is authenticity is what Disney has hung its hat on, all right? And I hang my gay hat, but it's a gay hat, and I hang it on authenticity, and I hold people accountable. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And when I take my gay beanie off and I hang it on a tub...
Will you knock it off with that, or before I'm going to come down to your office and beat you with a phone.
That's because you're essentially a homophobe, Phil. And listen to this.
No, I'm not.
Just listen to me for a minute. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. When you go to Disney, you want the authentic experience of the way it was, the way it is now, the way it might be. I go to New Orleans Square. I don't want that thing open. I'm not saying they have to flood it. Just don't open it. Because I can say, oh, I can't go to New Orleans Square because there's a flood, you know? And I can imagine the flood, and I can just make a big U-turn and go off to Frontierland or any place that has a gay-friendly sound to it. But I don't.
What does that mean?
What?
What do you mean a gay-friendly sound?
Well,
or is that what you said, sound?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, what it means is the different areas of Disneyland, some are more gay-friendly sounding. Like, for instance, the Carnation Ice Cream Parlor, Frontierland, that kind of deal.
Is that where gay folks go?
You're trying to call me a swisher. I am not a swisher.
I guess you cats like Pirates of the Caribbean, too, huh?
You know, Phil, I'll tell you something. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. If I was there, I'd go ahead and clock you right across the mouth for that one.
Oh, come on, man. If Frontierland is gay-friendly sounding, why isn't Pirates of the Caribbean?
Because I know what you're getting at. And besides, that's in New Orleans Square, and it ought to be closed. Oh, got you on that one, too. And I'll tell you something else, Phil. Crossroads of the World in Hollywood at one time was a wonderful place for people to go. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of hookers. There's a lot of transsexuals, all kinds of freaks walking in front of that place. But I'll tell you this. Maybe if Disney had that Disney slut, we could begin to see those women in a different light, and we wouldn't look upon them as such outcasts. The other thing they ought to have on that street is a Disney International House of Pancakes where a Disney character deals drugs.
Yeah, that's right, Doug. Okay, thanks so much.
Well, that was a joke.
Yeah, that's real funny, man. You know, it's true, man. You go to Disney World, they got that whole Hollywood street. And I remember I was walking down it one day, and I said, this is Crossroads of the World. And the last time I was at the real one, there were like two chicks who were...
What it is. Want a date?
And so I was kind of half, you know, and then when Snow White walked by, I couldn't help myself. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So what the hell is he writing about? Oh, close New Orleans Square. Get out of here, you idiot. It's Phil Hendry Show. I want to get a little bit of email that we have here. I just got a couple of minutes here, but I tell you what I will do. Read some news. We'll do some email when I come back from the break. I don't know whether you guys know, but the guy that played Gilligan, Bob Denver, has died. He was 70 years of age. Bob Denver was the guy on Gilligan's Island. He was the goofy guy. He was also on another TV show when I was a kid called Dobie Gillis. He played this beatnik named Maynard G. Krebs. That's the guy that I dug. That's the character that I really loved, Maynard G. Krebs. He was this beatnik. He had a little goatee and a sweatshirt, and he would go to Dobie, who was his friend, the straight friend who was the son of a grocer, and he'd ask him to go to flicks with him like The Thing That Ate Cleveland and just crazy things like that. Anyway, Bob Denver is gone. A lot of people dug that Gilligan's Island. Personally, I watched it when I was a kid, but when it started going into reruns, I kind of checked off of that a little bit. And then all the gay jokes came out. What's Gilligan and the, you know, the skipper and Marianne? What's that all about? And Ginger and Mrs. Howell. And who was that? Thurston Howell. And it began to get a little seedy and sick. It began to get twisted in your mind. And suddenly you realize there's just no way the skipper could be that happy if he and Gilligan weren't doing something. And then Marianne and the professor had to be hooking up. But that's not possible with Ginger, so that was a threesome right there. And probably Mrs. Howell joined in. And Mr. Howell, he doesn't care because he's on high blood pressure medicine. All right, so there's that's going on. And then people began to dissect the show too much. Why can't they get off the island if the guy knows how to make a wireless set? What is it with the Japanese guy, that you know, the soldier? You know, and then they really began to... Then there was this whole cult around this thing. Then some cat did the Gilligan's Island theme with the lyrics to Stairway to Heaven. And then it was on. Or as Lloyd would say, all bets are off. And that's when I just said that I need to, I got to take a break from popular culture for a while. Anyway, Bob Denver is gone. And the other bit of news, $40 billion sought for the next phase of Hurricane Katrina recovery. And so they're going to get the bread down there for that. And I, you know, Harry just said it, and I agree with you, Harry, 100%. I remember when, after 9/11, they said, oh, they'll never, this will take years to clean this up. Well, they cleaned it up in 9 months. And bets here are that they'll have New Orleans drained and ready to rock and roll in about 12 months. Seriously. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
So I'm looking at this map. I've got a, I actually have a satellite photo here of New Orleans, and it has, this satellite photo that I'm looking at shows, it's an actual photograph of the city taken from a satellite, and the darker areas are the flooded areas. And I'm looking just at the city itself. I don't know what you want to call it, the main business center of New Orleans. And, you know, if you get up toward, you guys are familiar with New Orleans, you know that the French Quarter and like Uptown are all closer to the Mississippi River. And then you get down further toward Lake Pontchartrain, which is where the levee, and when I say down, I'm actually talking north. So Pontchartrain is north of the city. The Mississippi River is sort of south of the city or runs through the southern or southerly part of the city. But up toward Pontchartrain, it's all dark. And that's pretty much where the levees broke and the water began to, crest into the city. And then it sort of stopped because New Orleans, as I mentioned, and by the way, you hear me the way I say New Orleans, how it just flows? That's because I was on the radio down there, WNOE-FM. So I know how to say it. I had to do the official ID every hour. This is WNOE-FM, New Orleans. Not New Orleans and not New Orleans. New Orleans. Say it, bud.
No, Newlands.
Newlands. Boy, are you an idiot.
I didn't live down there.
Everybody ought to be able to say New Orleans. Just kind of right off the, you know, it's like being able to say Norfolk, Virginia.
You said a bad word.
You think I did. If I hear that music, I'll punch you out. You got to be able to say it. So what happened is the water began to flood into the city from Pontchartrain from the north. And then sort of stopped, or not stopped, but it didn't, it wasn't really putting much that far underwater the further up into the quarter. And I keep saying up because we're talking uphill into the French Quarter and Uptown. That's the highest piece of ground there in the city of New Orleans. That's why it was the old part of New Orleans, the original part of the city, is the French Quarter. Because the people that decided to have a city there said, well, let's put it on some high ground here because we have this river around us. So if you look at this, you can see the Esplanade there, and it looks like St. Charles, and all of these streets are comparatively not too flooded. And if you've seen the news, you see people, you may be like a lot of people say, how come I see some houses are underwater and other people are like walking around? What is that about? What you're seeing, those folks that are sort of walking around, or maybe they're up to their knees in it, or maybe up just halfway up the shin. They're in the higher part of the city, which is probably up near the quarter, uptown, or the Superdome, which is where everybody was being evacuated to, is right on Canal Street. Right across Canal Street is the French Quarter. So it's also located in that general area. The hotels are also, a lot of them are on Canal, and that's also a relatively higher piece of ground. And I misspoke last week when I said, oh, my God, the Mississippi River's bridge had been blown out. See, that's what I mean. You got to check it out 3-4 times. When I heard someone say one of the main arteries was blown out across the river, it was a misreport, and I took it to mean the bridge. It wasn't. It was the I-10 Causeway, which is the east-west. And I think what collapsed was west of the city, which is out over really swampland. I mean, bayou country, that kind of deal. Now, why am I bringing all of this up? I have no idea. Oh, yeah. To say that when we were saying, before the news that don't think, people are saying, man, I keep hearing these people. I wish they'd just shut up, man, because the same thing after 9/11. It's going to be 5 years before the airline industry even gets anywhere near. Oh, come on, man. I was just in New York City. Remember they said that this is going to send us into a tailspin? I was in Vegas 1 year after 9/11, man. It was smoking. Everybody's back, man. Everybody's at the tables. New York City, you couldn't get a freaking seat for a play in a restaurant. Nothing. Now, New Orleans is going to experience, everybody's saying the same thing. It's going to be years before the city is back. And I hope, man, I really hope that this death toll that they're predicting, maybe it will hit 10,000. I shouldn't say. I'm hoping it isn't. There's a chance that it might not be as bad as a lot of people are saying. People always overestimate. I remember after 9/11, I thought, man, probably 30,000 people died in those buildings. And it was 3,000. It was horrible, but my God, it wasn't anywhere near what a lot of people were saying. And same thing with this flood. I don't know. You know, I'm hoping it won't be 10,000 folks. But anyway, make a long story short, what I'm trying to say is, it ain't gonna, you know, we got that freaking thing, that hole cleaned up in 9 months. I realize it's a way, way bigger job. It's going to get done, and folks are going to be back living there, and that city's going to come back, and they're going to find a way to make the city safer from those waters. And you're not going to take a city like New Orleans and wipe it off the freaking map. So forget it. And it'll get rebuilt. And one of the things that'll get it rebuilt is that the people there love their city, man, and they'll do it. Boy, I hope I'm not wrong about that. But no, they will. I said to you last week, when I lived there along the Esplanade, which is a very beautiful street in New Orleans, there were a lot of beautiful old homes that were selling in those days. And every time somebody bought one and renovated it, the whole street would have a party. They'd have a huge party for anybody that would redo one of those old houses. Now, for a very brief time, I had an apartment in the French Quarter. It was really expensive. I worked at a radio station on Bienville. And it was, and I lived down Bienville, about 3-4 blocks down from the station. I had this apartment, 1977. This thing was running me about $4.50 a month. That's a lot of bread for 1977. Right now, that would be somewhere in the neighborhood of like $2,500, $3,000 a month. And I had to shovel dirt out of this thing. I'll never forget it. And it is right there, man. What do you think? The living room has about 3 feet of dirt in it. Yeah, all right, you get a shovel, man. You shovel that out. Yeah, okay, that's cool. So there's no cleaning deposit, I take it. How about if I move out, man, and the dirt's still here? Well, I have to hold back your deposit. Oh, okay. So for like a weekend, I'm shoveling dirt out of this living room. But I went in there, and we cleaned up the floor, and I did we did a little painting. And, man, I lived there for a year. That was where I lived. It was great. Had a girlfriend, worked in a peep show. I'm joking.
Kinda.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I don't know if you guys have been to this Google Maps. Probably a lot of you have, but a lot of you haven't. It is a satellite view of just about anywhere that you want to look. And I'm looking at a satellite view, and on the Google map entry that I made, which was Esplanade, New Orleans, I put in Esplanade plus New Orleans, I got a Google satellite map that is showing me the exact area of New Orleans that is affected by the flood. You can zoom in or zoom out, and you can put yourself basically in any location of the city that you want, but you can get a really good view of just what areas are seriously affected by this flood. The thing that's blowing my mind about this Google map is if you keep scrolling past New Orleans, it'll just take you right on up to any city you want to go in the whole country. In other words, I could keep scrolling right to my house. It is a current satellite picture, right, Mark? But you get a very, very clear view. If you do that, and a lot of you guys, I know you don't have computers, and if you don't have a computer, where do you live? No, you probably would want to buy one. You got to have a computer. Forget it. I don't care if you're one of these cats. I know. Yeah, I get it. You know, I don't know how to program a VCR. You know, all that stuff? That was funny in like 1992. Get a freaking computer and get online. You might as well get plugged into the human race. But you look at this Google map, this is blowing my mind because it's showing me exactly the flooded areas, the really deep flooded areas of the city, as opposed to some of the areas that are more shallow. But you can zoom in on this thing, and I'm zooming right in on, I mean, I'm looking right over the Mississippi River Bridge, man, like almost 100 feet from the ground. Then I can just peel right on back to outer space. See, I'm right back up there. See that, bud?
Where's that?
New Orleans.
Where is it?
In Louisiana, the place that's flooded.
Oh.
Jesus.
Well, I don't know what it is.
It's a map of New Orleans. What does that say?
New.
And what's that say?
Orleans.
Put them both together and what do you got? Forget it, man.
New Orleans.
So anyway, what you can do is just keep on scrolling past that and then get over to satellite. But it gives you a really good picture of the city and just exactly what people are talking about when they say, well, where's Lake Pontchartrain and what's flooded and what isn't and what's in deep water and what isn't. It's very cool. I'm a map freak. I don't know what happened to me. I love maps. My wife gave me a world map for my birthday, and I could have cried. I could have dropped to one knee and wept as if I'd just given up a 75-yard touchdown pick. Just dropped to one knee and wept like Ralph Branca after that gopher pitch to Thompson. I love maps, man. I love atlases. I can look at a map of Poland. I mean, what is it with me? I can look at a map of Bulgaria. I want to see what a map of Nepal looks like. I want to check out Burma. Well, I used to have one of those three-dimensional relief map globes, you know, where you can feel the mountains. When I was a kid, I had one of those globes, and I go, wow, look at this. This is the Himalayas. They're really rough and big, but over here's the Rocky Mountains. They kind of suck. But here, look at this. This is wild, man. And see, did you do that, Harry? And, of course, you try to drag people like, hey, Mom, come here.
Yes, what?
Look, that's Nepal. You know how your parents are like feign interest? Oh, that's really great, son. That's Sweden. Yeah, and see, this is Finland. And see, there's a ridge of mountains, see? Yeah, it's good, son. Well, I got to get back to just trying to catch up on this Playboy. So I figured my old man owed it to me, right? I let him look at my map. Why can't I read his Playboys? And I don't know, one time my girlfriend, years ago, I was living in Orlando, and my girlfriend's dad and I said, it was like we were both, you're one too, huh? Yes. And so we rapped about maps, and this dude had he had like pirate maps, and he had maps of, the craziest thing to see are the old maps the explorers made of North America. Hey, didn't you guys know that California was attached to the continent? You say... Well, how do they know, Henry? They don't have satellite photos, okay? Yeah, but it's kind of messed up, man. Florida looks more like a
penis.
Ow! So, I dig it. Anyway, this is the coolest thing that I have ever discovered. I may just be hanging out here at work till all hours. I'll get home and go online. I'll probably be getting to bed around 4 now tonight, because I'll be on Google Maps all night while my wife is... Yeah, if you scroll out, you can go across the ocean. What, to like Africa?
Anywhere.
You can travel the world on Google Maps. Ow! Next best thing to have in a life. All right, now let me check this out here. I'm going to go over to the Mississippi. See, I'm way down the Mississippi River now. Where are you? You're in Finland? Freaking Newman went to Finland. Well, you went from New Orleans to Finland? You're a wild man. Anyway, I'm going way north, man. I don't know where I'm at now. But in any event, that's a great place to get a really good look at how the city's been affected by this flood. Where is the Mississippi River in relationship to Pontchartrain? And what are we talking about? We're talking about Pontchartrain, a huge lake. And there was a causeway across that lake, which I believe has been washed out. Am I right? Longest causeway in the world, 24, I don't know how many miles. I went across it one time with my friend. This dude that I was working with at the station, his girlfriend. Come on, man. You got to see New Orleans. They showed me the whole area. And we're going to go across the causeway to the town on the other side. I forget the name of the town. And we did. Went over, had lunch, and, then we went back over the bridge. Going over the first time was cool. The second time it was like, oh, God, will this please end? Anyway, sure wish it was still there. I hope it is. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So on this Google map, I've zoomed in on the Superdome, I'm like maybe a 500 feet over it now. Now, this can't be a real satellite picture from... This is not a current satellite picture, is it? Because there's sunlight. And maybe it's not even... But what they did do is they took and overlaid on the satellite image of New Orleans. And you can zoom in from, like... You are literally as high up as seeing an entire view of the continent, and you can get all the way down to looking at the Superdome's roof. So I'm looking at this, but I don't exactly see crowds of people getting, Ritz crackers and stuff.
You racist.
That's not racist. I'm just saying it's obviously a picture taken of another time. But what they did do is they overlaid like a gray... tint to the map so you can see the area affected. If you right click, you can literally. Oh, what did I do, man? I messed something up. If you right-click, you can literally scroll wherever you want around the city, and you can see cars. I mean, that's how close this picture is. Anyway, I'm bringing all of this up to say we can all get a little educated on what the hell it is that we're talking about. If you go to this Google Maps, it'll show you exactly the area that got flooded. It'll show you areas that are more flooded than others. It'll show you, you know, in relationship to the rest of the metropolitan area of New Orleans, what's wet and what's not so wet and what's relatively okay. All right, so that's kind of an educational 15 or 20 minutes we did, bud. I'm very proud of that. I'm sorry if it was boring for you, you knothead. Don't even know what New Orleans means, huh?
I don't care.
Yeah. Someday you will, man. This is the Phil Henry Show. Our web address is www.philhenryshow.com. If you go to our email account, you can send us a letter. I was going to get to some email tonight. I apologize. I didn't get to it. I will tomorrow night for sure. Got some very cool show ideas. Oh, you know what I want to do, man? There's this one guy's email I wanted to read. It was the funniest line. It was from a Bob Green show. Am I going to be able to get to this or not? How many seconds have I got here, bud? Here it is. Hold on for a minute. It says, this is to him, this was the funniest line that he'd heard. I don't think I'm going to find it. All right, so we're going to have to wait till tomorrow night for the funniest line this guy ever heard. Phil. Oh, here it is. Quote, Phil, figuratively, I'm on the roof of a house. I'm on the roof of a house, and I'm waving a snot nose, and I'm waving a hand buzzer, and I'm saying, help me, because he owned a joke shop. Never mind.